Blog Talk Radio.
This is Coach E on Coach Talk, a HME production.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Coach E, and welcome to this episode of Coach Talk. I have with me on air Mr. Ira Curry. So give us a moment. I think we're having some technical difficulty. One moment. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. Again, this is your host, Coach E. And I have with me in studio Mr. Ira Curry. And we're going to be talking tonight about unveiling the entrepreneur within. And so, Ira, thank you for coming back and being a part of the Coach Talk show. We hadn't had you on in a while, but we have great conversation every time we do.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. I'm super ecstatic and excited, and hopefully you can hear my audio clearly.
I can. We can.
Beautiful.
Yes. So, you know, thank you again for deciding to come back on and doing the show with us. And, you know, we always have good conversations when you're on. And, you know, in preparation for tonight's show, we came across the topic, about how personal development, it can make or break your business growth.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, it's so much to personal development and how it plays such a huge part in the growth of your business. You know, I always tell people, Coach E, that if you don't have this right, like that mindset, then the business is going to suffer. And so I'm ecstatic to jump into this topic because there's so much we're going to be covering on it today.
Absolutely. Now, look, I have a business mentor that always says to me, he would always tell me, your business can only grow. Your business has to grow away from you. It has to grow away. And what I found as a business coach, I find people holding on to their businesses so tight. And I have found that to be an internal thing. It's a control thing. I want to be in control. And the thing about it is that it puts you into being what, a jack of all trades and a master of none. Because now you're doing 50 billion things trying to build your business. You become an overly achieving solopreneur. What are your thoughts about that, Ira? I mean, we will just dive right on in.
Well, let's get into it. You know, it's so funny that you said that because that's exactly what it is. We find ourselves in a situation where we're not running our businesses, but our businesses start to run us. And I think it's so important to really take a step back, look at the big picture and say, okay, what steps do I need to take in my business to be successful? But most importantly, what steps do I need to take in my own personal development to be successful? And I think so many people, they get into their business and they forget about themselves. They start making things in time for their friends tend to become their customers, and their coworkers tend to become their family, but nobody's really taking care of the entrepreneur, that person within. And so for those of you who are entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs, or even people that are just busy in corporate America, like, I encourage you guys to take out time for yourself, because the growth of your business is a reflection of the growth of you.
Absolutely. You know, and it's, we hear a lot with self-care. There's an apostle that I sat in her, Apostle Eldrion Jackson, I sat in her mentor program to help me to, it's called PASTA. And it was to help me kind of come in to declutter, or to come out of the fuzziness and come in touch with Erica, right? And who Erica is and why God created, and just to have a clear vision and look past the trauma and really see things clearly. And one of the things she would always say is self-care, self-care, self-care. And you are enough, and give yourself grace. And so I have found that since going through her program, and sitting under her as my pastor for a while, I constantly am saying those things to myself, because I was one that would condemn myself about everything. If I dropped the ball on something, no matter how big or how small, I have beat myself up from here to yesterday. I mean, from here to yesterday, you know, to all the years coming. So I didn't spend about 30 days in this little spiral of, I can't believe I did it. I'm hiding from the world, because I just, it is like, what? I'm not by myself. Oh, goodness.
You know, it's so much, and it's so much that I could say to that, right? And I think the best response is what the person that was mentoring you, what particular person told you. You know, are we taking time to say, you know, who is Erica and who is Ira? And why did God create Erica, and why did he create Ira? And, you know, for those who are really big on their faith, where God is, you know, taking you on this journey to where he's ultimately showing you his ways, I always tell people that God wants you to make it about him, but there's a part of us that sometimes we can go so deep that we forget about us. And so as I walked through a season where it was all about God this, God that, you know, he started leading me into another season about, okay, Aaron, what about you and your wants, your desires? And I think that's how it has to be in everything we do. You know, we can do the businesses and we can do the relationships, but what about you? And what is it that makes you come alive? Yeah, I think that's so important.
And, you know, let's be honest. If you're really in tune with God, right, you're really in tune with his spirit, and you're not out here doing monkey business, right? You're not chasing mammon. You're not trying to be your own God. You're not worshiping, you know, success and all of these things. I mean, God is really your forefront. You're constantly placing your heart at his throne and asking him to create in you a new heart, and, you know, so that you can have a renewed spirit in him. Like, you're doing all these things. We have to understand that our desires and our wants are now really his desires and wants. So what he's asking you to do is tap into what I put inside of you now, so that you can begin to do what I crafted you to do. And I think when we think about relationship with God, we think about him being a dictator, right? We don't understand relationship when he said friend is friend. Like, I want to have conversations with you. I want to move in life with you. I don't want you to look at me as this big old dictator that tells you this and this is it. You know? But yep. He's not going to go back on his principles. He's not going to go back on those things. But he wants us to understand them so we will know, like, look, there's a way I need you to live. There's a standard that I've called you to live in. And so there's a time in which we have to identify his standard. And then once we identify his standard, then we can start moving in life and doing the things that he's called us to do.
That is so powerful. And I'll add to that, you know, just like you said, walking his, like, not him being a dictator of your relationship, right? I think it's so cool that he gives us the flexibility, because our desires, his desires and his wants, as we're walking close to him, it essentially, like you said, it becomes our desires. And now it's our wants. And now it's ultimately up for us to continue to believe in ourselves and have the courage to get through that process that he'll put us through before we get to the end goal. And I just wanted to comment on that. It's so, so very important.
No, it is. And, you know, I'm sorry. I'm always shaking up something when I'm sitting in this office at this desk, this computer. I'm going to get used to it. That's just OG, y'all. That's OG. But, I really think that's important for us to understand. And one of the other things, you know, if we could kind of dive into it, we're both of us being coaches. I mean, and both of us also owning our own business, right? And being very creative. Like, God gives us ideas all the time. And I don't know about you, Ira, but sometimes I be like, wait a minute, Lord. I feel like I done created this and I'm creating that and I'm saying this, Lord. You know, so sometimes it overwhelms me at times. But I've learned in this last season that I thank God for two young ladies that entered my life and a gentleman that he reintroduced into my life. And I was listening to someone, and I forgot who it was, but they said, watch your season. Because when people exit and people enter, the people that are entering identifies your new season. And I say all of us are young people, okay, because I don't care, you know, we all young, okay? But they entered into my life, and it was at a very, 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 very dark period for me. I just lost my grandfather. I had relocated from Maryland back here to Virginia, kicking and screaming and crying. Like, it was just not the move that I had for myself. And I met, like I said, two young ladies, and one gentleman was reintroduced. And they're very, very, powerful men and women of God, number one. Number two, they're very profitable in their businesses. And one thing that they said, because when you're dealing with finances, you have to understand at some point you have to stabilize. You cannot restore until you stabilize, right? And I could not stabilize mentally, let alone financially. Mentally, I was everywhere. I was my own victim. I was just everything that I shouldn't be, I was. And I was bleeding everywhere. I was telling everybody, like, I didn't care who it was. Then I'd get home and be like, God, I don't know why I told them, but it don't matter, Lord, because they all just think I'm crazy anyway. I don't think anything is good. You know, that's who I was. But these, they entered my life. And bringing things back to point, one in particular said to me, she said, Erica, every opportunity is not a God opportunity. And, you know, we hear that often. And the first thing I'm thinking, oh, the devil is trying to take me off my game. And she said, but every opportunity that is not a God opportunity doesn't mean that it's a devil opportunity either. And I had to pause for a moment that some things is just not in the cards for you, for God, for where he's taking you. And I just stopped. And, you know, we hear that so often. We hear variations of that so often, but we really don't really, or at least I never really sat down and really processed it, because I always thought, well, if I came up with the idea, it must be from God. Or if someone presented it to me and, you know, this is God. But not everything is a part of your journey.
That's deep. That is so deep, and I want to add to that. So what God has taught me about that is we have the ability to make choices. There are certain seasons when we're walking through the wilderness. There are certain seasons where we're walking towards our promised land where we have no choice. It is this way or you don't have the grace to do it. It is this way or you're going to find yourself struggling to do it. And what I've learned coming out of the wilderness years back, set me into the promised land is that I have the ability to make choices. And so I found myself in seasons where I'm trying to, you know, I'm getting this idea and I'm getting that, and then I'm resonating with this. And the way that I know, for those who are listening who may resonate with what Coach E just said, the way that I know that God is in it or that it's the best decision is, one, I resonate with that thing strong. Like, it'll be something that continues to pull me to it. And I may resonate the first day, but I'm really not paying attention to how that initial feeling is. Let me wait on it. Let me sleep on it. Let me get back to Monday. Let me think on it next week. And if that thing keeps coming up, and if you continue to resonate with that thing, if you continue to feel that thing pulling you towards it, that's the one that I've always chose. They turn out to be best decisions. I want to talk about how when the devil, I mean, how everything is not like an opportunity from God, and every decision or every opportunity isn't from the devil. Like, some choices are just, and when I say rigged in our favor, it doesn't matter whether we make this choice or that choice, but one of the choices is going to lead us to a better outcome than the other choice. It will ultimately, at the end of the day, what I learned is lead us to the place that we were meant to get to in our destiny. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so let's talk, kind of move into this mammon thing, right? Because we see so often as believers, we get tricked up into chasing after mammon and yet saying it's God, right? And one of the things I learned is that when we really get to understand our purpose and what we were designed to do, we can also look at these opportunities and we can kind of start aligning, is it me or is it because I'm doing it for a dollar? You know, because we oftentimes, and look, I've done it, we'll take on ventures, right? And my main priority is how I'm a, is that term that we use now, how am I going to get to that bag? You know, it's like, wow, is your life just centered around a bag? It's around who like you, who following you, who this, who that. It's kind of like one of those things, like, really, is this what is really centered? So God, look, God put you in the marketplace, yes, so that you can make money. But, I mean, he could use a donkey if he wanted to. I mean, we know that. He could use whatever he wanted to use in the marketplace, but he puts you there. As a matter of fact, in the word, it states that we are to work, right? God honors one that goes into to work. He talks about it. It's very prevalent, right? But he could just threw you in the marketplace and left you. He didn't have to put you in the marketplace and call you a leader. So why are you really leading in the marketplace? Are you, you know, being a leader is more than, I tell people this, leading is not about telling people what to do. It's inspiring people to do. There's a big difference there.
Huge difference. And, you know, just to add to that, the leadership, I mean, like, when you're chasing the bag, that's all you ever chase. You know, you got to chase purpose, your destiny. God, what is it that you created me to do on this earth? Like, what's that thing that only I can do on the earth? You know, that's not going to look like what someone else has done in the earth. My journey has taught me that on your way to chasing purpose and not your bag, you run into the bag. And you not only run into the bag, but you develop your leadership skills and your skills that ultimately allow you to the front, like, hold the thing that God has given you without, you know, without tearing it apart, right? And then so many people, they want to get to the bag, but they don't want to go through the process. And so many people, they think when somebody gets to the bag, they're like, wow, like, this guy, he makes it look easy, or this girl, she makes it look easy. But there was a process that everybody that ever got a bag had to go through, whether they was walking with God or not. And so it's so important to you look at the people who are out and they have the bag and they're doing, you know, these great things in front of you, right? But you never know the process that that person had to go through in order to get what they got. And so you got to ask yourself, or you got to be careful when you say, God, I'm ready for the bag, or, you know, man, I want that bag, because you never know the baggage or the process that came with that bag.
You know, yeah. I'm happy you opened that up, because here's the thing. Definitely there's a process. Definitely there's a process. I always tell people, look, if you want to be a millionaire, are you ready for the millionaire challenges? Because you know what? A millionaire doesn't have the same challenges as somebody that's only worth $40,000 and $30,000. Their challenges are very different. And then, and so if you get lost in the sauce trying to get to the millionaire, are you really ready? Because God is going to process you out into whatever he called you to. Here's the other thing. If you say, well, God told me I'm a leader and I'm going to lead nations, okay, that's wonderful. So I hope you're ready for people not even considering you a leader. I hope you're ready for people to not even consider that you exist. Because you know what? Christ came and his name is still ringing, but when he showed up, well, nobody received him.
And there's so much we can, and just a comment on that, like there's so much we can talk about that. Like, as God, well, as Christ stepped into his ministry on earth, nobody was following him initially. And then when he did step into that leadership role, people went against him. And so as you step into your next level, as you step into your leadership role, as you step into that next position, are you ready for the process, the people that are rejecting you that comes with it? And what my journey has taught me is that leadership is perhaps one of the most difficult positions in the beginning, because you're accepting you're wanting the approval of people, and then oftentimes you're having to break away from friends and play a different role. The people that you were working with, you're now the leader of. The family that you grew up in as a little boy, you're now the head man in charge or the head woman in charge. And so you have to switch those roles. And so I always tell people that as you're stepping into your leadership role, you have to be confident doing what you can only do. Like, you have to know that you've been called for the assignment. And going back to personal development, this is why it's so important. Because you can't do what you're called to do without the right mindset. I can't enter into my next level thinking like my last level. I can't be the employer thinking like the employee. I can't be the grown man thinking like the son. And I think as we really reflect on that, the only thing that's really going to make that shift is spending time with myself. What are the questions I need to be asking myself to make that mindset shift? What type of habits do I need to form to take into this next season, not the last season, because the last season isn't going to serve you anywhere in this season. And concluding, whatever level those of you who are getting ready to step into, you need to be asking yourself, what type of mindset work do I need to do to be ready for that next level? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just to kind of piggyback on that, you know, yeah, last season can't go into your new season because you got to forget that what was past. But yet there was lessons in that old season that you do have to hold on to moving into the new season. And then you have to understand that no matter what the crushing was, because, you know, we always talk about the crushing. So let's talk about it. No matter what the crushing was, no matter what the breaking was, it was done for glory. And not your glory, but his glory. But then in addition to that, we have to understand too that we have to decide who we want to acknowledge and be proud of us. I think a lot of times we focus on people and we forget in the marketplace, the word of God still applies. If he be lifted up, then he will draw all men unto him. And as he's drawing them unto him, and you're in the right place at the right time in the realm of the spirit and doing what he called you to do, he will then send people. You know, people talk about, I want my name to ring. Well, here's my thing. Yes, God knows who we all are, but can he trust you to be able to allow such a honor to be bestowed upon you that when people begin to look for particular services and products, that your name begins to ring? Are you in position? Are you fortified? Are you, because those are another set of demonic attacks. Let's be real. You know, people don't want to talk about that, but that's another level of demonic attacks, because you talk about, I want my name to ring and you know, in, you know, it's a fuck. If your name is ringing to individuals in the earth, you understand that Satan already knew who you were. He might not have, because if you have zero prayer life, you have zero scripture time, you have zero meditation on the word, like you have zero of everything, and you try to wonder why you're getting beat up, let's have that conversation right there.
You know, I mean, you brought up so many good points, and you know, I think it's just so important that you continue to, like, those who are listening, and that message that she said, it may have convicted you. And let's just be honest, like, if it has, you know, pay attention to what God may be saying in a good way, right? Just know, like, the like, we're powerless without prayer. I mean, I know everyone that's in the world who haven't been called to a certain standard, yeah, they may get away with it because they may not be called to do it. But for those who are called to do it, we don't get an opportunity to get away with it. This morning I woke up, I prayed for 2 hours. I'm like, God, man, this is so easy now. And, you know, last season I used to pray 3 hours when I woke up. And this was stuff in the beginning I struggled with. But now it's like I'm praying and I'm talking. And it's like I'm talking. And because I'm able to do that, I'm able to flow with him. I'm able to know when he's saying move forward, step back. I'm able to know when he's saying, okay, let's do this, let's do that. Prayer is going to allow us to hear the voice of God, to get the confidence that we need, to step into all that we've been destined to step into. And I think it's so important, because I felt that highlighted, that prayer life, it got to be better than your marriage life. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, like, that prayer life has to really be there to make all things truly work together for your good. So.
Absolutely. Look, and you said better than your marriage life. Look, let's be real. He's supposed to be your first love anyway, okay?
Right. Exactly.
So if you find it that he the last on the totem pole, then there's some adjustments that Jesus has in it. You know, it's funny because I share a lot of times with my best friend a lot of different things, and you know, I feel like I'm one of those ones that feel like I'm always being convicted. Like every time I'm like, God, and you know, and I'm understanding that, you know, God, you know, has principles, but, and I think it might've been you and I was talking about this, but how he will begin to set additional parameters to you specifically, because you know, there's some things that he wants you to do that he's like, nah, I mean, it doesn't go against me, but that's just not going to be good for you, for what I'm trying to do with you. So, you know, I don't want you to be upset, but this is kind of weird. I got to hold you here. I can't let you be with everybody else there, you know? And I think a lot of times it's difficult because, you know, for me, I don't drink. And but if you sip wine, I mean, you're not going to hell for sipping wine, right? But it's just God just, I just don't, you know, I have a low tolerance for one. And for two, and even when I was in the world trying to get drunk, my friends used to laugh at me like, girl, you can't even put a whole one down. Like he just never allowed me to develop that type of tolerance, you know? And so getting saved and beginning to walk my life with him, it's just like, I don't even have a desire, but I'm not going to knock you because you can sit and drink wine. It's just a standard he set for me that says, I can't have you over there. I need you right here. I'm not saying you're going to go to hell because you sipped some wine, but what I'm saying is I can't have you sipping wine where I have it, where I'm taking it.
You know, that, and, you know, the thing that I think about, you know, my mom used to always say, you can treat them alike, but, you know, she used to say, you can treat them right, but you can't treat them alike. So you could treat your kids right, but you can't necessarily treat them alike, because what this kid needs is not what this kid needs. And so relating that to, like, how God, you know, he has certain things that, like me, I know that there are certain things that I can't do that perhaps my friend can do of Christ or my sister. And, you know, what he pulls me from is a thing that would destroy me. So it's a no-no to me. And so you always have to be knowing, like I tell Christians and those who are walking with God all the time, you have to be okay with what God is telling you not to do, because the thing he's asking you not to do is that thing that's more than likely at some point could potentially take you out. And so I think it's just, it's so important to know what you're, like the things that you're like restricted from. And as you follow, because it's just being obedient, right? And mm-hmm. as we're being obedient, we're staying in his perfect will. And yeah, like I think that's just so important to know what you can do and what you can't do. And for those who are doing that which you wish you could do, if you wish you could do it, it's okay. You know, you're not, maybe you're not ready for it, or maybe God isn't ready to release you into that, because it could ultimately be the thing that could take you out of that. So that was a very good point.
And I know you're probably listening, trying to figure out, like, y'all are really, like, I'm going to say it like this, y'all dogging me today. Like, y'all are just, like, stepping on my toes today. What does that have to do with anything? I mean, I thought we just talk about personal growth, and we are. We are really tonight talking about how to start to develop, first of all, you know, the word says, I pray that you you prosper even as your soul prospers. So the God wants to see every part of us prosper. And prosperity is not money. It's the abundance. It's the overflow. And so he wants you to live abundantly. That's Christ said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Somehow or another, we took that scripture and said just that money. And, you know, and I'm going to let you say it, because you put it right into, you say it exactly right, Ira, but Warren Buffett spoke about what would happen when you get money. He had a quote. You want to share that quote and break it down? Because, like, this, we chopping up some stuff tonight.
Yeah, well, we are chopping it up. But you know what? I don't know what the quote is, but I'm going to say what's in my heart. And maybe this is the quote. Like, if you get the money, it's only going to magnify what's there. And if something's not good there, then what's magnified is not going to be good as well. And so you have to do the inner work to make sure that when you do get the money, you're not going to allow the money to possess you. I'm always asking myself, you know, how can I be in a position to possess the promise? How can I be in a position to possess the thing and not allow it to possess me? I don't need anything controlling me. I don't need anything taking my mind over. And I don't need anything pulling out anything that ultimately shouldn't be there. And so, like, you know, it's just so very important that you get this part good, because if this part is good, then when the money comes, it'll magnify. And you said a good part on it as well. You was kind of, you know, sharing some insight on it as well. So I would love for you to tell them about that too, because you stated it, I think, even better than what I stated based on what Warren Buffett said.
Yeah, but you hit the quote right on the head. And when I heard him speak it, you know, I really thought about this. Like, if you are miserable before the money came, your misery is only going to get worse. It is. It's not going to improve. Somehow or another, we have come to a society of thinking that money is the answer to all things. I was teaching financial literacy to youth in the afternoon in Chesterfield County here in Virginia. And we would, one of the very first class we opened up with was this: do you need money to survive? And my class, majority of the people, young people, would raise their hand, yes. I would have a couple that would think about it and say, nah. I had one person in class say, initially, after the fact, they all started getting it. But one person said, well, homeless people ain't got no money and they still living. And I'm like, yeah. Yet we approach money as it's a requirement to live, not a requirement. So if we talk about what is necessarily to live, that's water, food, and oxygen or air, right? Those are the three things we need in order to survive. Money makes our living comfortable. That if we approach it from a different place, it makes our living comfortable. It allows us to not just to allow our life to be comfortable, but we can help others around us become comfortable. We can help generations behind us. And see, let's even talk about comfortability, because there's a difference between being comfortable and being complacent. There's a major difference. Being comfortable is you don't have to worry, Lord, am I going to have lights come tomorrow? Lord, are we going to be living on the street come tomorrow? Comfort in that is I have enough coming in to make sure that my necessities are met. Well, we have to start from that place first. That's the stabilizing place, right? We got to start there. And then we have to understand, you know, what is your goal? What is your next step? You know, do you want to build for the next generation? You know, there's the Kennedys, man, their money goes generations. And they approach money very differently.
I would say with the Kennedys, and not just with Kennedys, I think anytime you're dealing with money, you know, what's the long-term plan, right? Like, what is this money that I'm bringing in? What is it doing? And how can I set my generations up for success? I think it's so important that we start thinking about our legacy, right, as we're talking about money. I think it's so important that we start thinking about the things that are going to be allowing us to make an impact on people that are coming into our family lines generations down the line. And I think it always starts with a plan, and I think that plan should be really getting clear on what type of money I want to make, how can I make it, what are the steps that I need to take in order to get it, and as I get it, what am I going to do with it? Where am I going to invest in it? And do I have the training to invest in that money as well? So, and that, again, that goes all back to personal development, like making sure you have the right mindset to handle and manage that money.
Absolutely, absolutely. And just, you know, just what a tip, money is currency, and currency is meant to always be moving. Always be moving. The thing about it is God says that it should move, that it multiplies. That's investing. So when you look at your business, you have to look at it. There's twofold to your business, right? For some of us, it is what we do daily. So it's our earned income. And it also is our investment, right? So you got to remember, you got multiple things working at the same time as you're building your business. And approaching a business from the standpoint of, I just want to do my service or I just want to sell my product, you're earning, but you're not building value because you don't even know what, you know, all of your expenses. You don't know how to scale your business. You're now probably chasing all kinds of opportunities and, you know, you're just somewhere else. Because you didn't invest the time to understand the many components that go on into this gift that God gave you.
And there's so many different components, as you were saying, that goes into a business, and you will never ultimately know how many components that go into it until you actually get into it. You know, there's the sales division, there's marketing, there's operations, there's HR, there's finances, and each level of those organizations, they come with, like, their own set of problems. And I always tell the people that I'm coaching is that you got to have the big picture, right? Like, if you just get a piece of it and you jump in, you'll be constantly working in the business and you won't really understand the business. And at some point, if you continue to work in it long enough, you'll understand it, but it'll take a long time. And I think it's just so important to have the knowledge, you know, like to have that wisdom, the revelation to navigate, you know, what do I do when I'm looking to expand my sales team? Or how do I manage my employees? Or what should the HR division look like? Or, you know, marketing and I were thinking about launching this incentive. Like, how should that process go? What's most effective? I know what other people are doing. I know what I've seen or what I'm thinking, but what actually works? You know, me personally, I tell entrepreneurs that I coach, I tell them I went through all the mistakes so that you don't have to. And I think that's the most powerful thing, because now you got someone, they know the answers because they've gotten the answers wrong. And that's just so key. If I can, I'm always looking for a way to shortcut something. I couldn't shortcut my process with God. He wouldn't let me do that. But if I could have, I probably would have. But he didn't allow that. But I'm always looking for ways that I can get to the answer more quicker. And usually that's in business. So is there someone that I can hire that can teach me what they know? Is there someone that can mentor me? Is there someone that can tell me step one, if I take it, that will lead me to step two? And I think it's so important that, especially in our age, especially in our culture, you know, that we reach out to those who have done what we're looking to do, so that when we do it, we'll do it successfully. And I'm sure you can agree to that too, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I'm happy you said that, because business is all about, you know, quickly getting the response. Whereas, you know, in spirituality, you can't shortcut. God is not going to be personal relevant. So I'm happy that you put that out there, because it's just, if you're looking, if God said to you that I'm going to give you a business, he is not going to allow you to shortcut the steps of becoming a global business. And here's the thing, you have to learn, like, how do you expand your business to become global? And then what country are you going to go into first? And what are their import and export laws? What is the culture like over here? Like, it's so much that comes with that. But everybody wants to be globally known. I want the world to know who I am, you know? It is okay. You know, we're not knocking that, and more power to you. But there comes a requirement in order to get there. And so if you can't even become locally vested, locally expanding, but yet you're trying to be globally there, I think we missed some steps. We missed a whole bunch of steps. I used to always tell my director of operations for the nonprofit that I started, I said to her, I said, there is no part of this business we should not know how to run. And she used to give me these big eyes, like, are you serious? I say, yep, I sure am. From the smallest to the most significant duty, we should be able to do every single piece of it. And she could not understand why. My philosophy back then, and I was in my 20s, but my philosophy back then was, you never know when you got to dive in to do it. That's number one. But now that I'm seasoned, I'm about to be 50 this year, I have a different mindset. Not only do you not know if you got to jump in and do it, but then you can also know how to efficiently do stuff and how to get your business running a lot smoother, right? And I'm just at a whole nother place. But you know what, Ira, you give me your thoughts on that. I'm pretty sure you have some great thoughts with that too.
Yeah, I do. You know, and one thing I know is, like, especially as the CEO of your company or something that you founded, you need to know every part of your business. You need to have been the customer service rep. You needed to have transitioned into the sales rep. You need to have make the transition to your manager in your own company, then up those letters to VP, CEO, and so forth and so on. I always tell people that I never hired a person without being in a role. You know, these companies that I've started, these companies that I've grown, like, I was always playing the role that my employees today play. And I think it's so critical that you do that, because how can I come in and really tell you, okay, let's get this done, let's do this, and this is why? Because I've done it, I'm speaking with that authority, and they're resonating with it. They feel it in my spirit, because they see, like, you know, he's done it, he's been through it. And even if they don't know, it's something about them that respects me a little bit more, because I'm not speaking from a place of inexperience. I'm speaking from a place of, wow, I've done that. I know what that's like. I know what if she responds this way, we're going to respond that way. If the employees do it this way, we're going to do it. These are the procedures that, and that's what that hands-on experience allow you guys to have. And so that's what I meant when God said he wouldn't allow me to shortcut my process. As most of you guys, he won't allow you to shortcut your process. As the entrepreneur, you're going to start off being the CEO and the customer service rep. And you should take that job very proudly because that's the best position within your company. I think back to 2018 when I started my first company. I had this title called the CEO, the founder of my company. I didn't care about that title. Man, I was just irate. I wanted to help the people. I wanted to help these people rebuild their credit. I wanted to help them do that, which I could not at that time help myself do it one season of my life. And so I wanted to be that guy. Hey, what's going on, Ms. Customer? We're going to get you taken care of. And as I did that and as I was faithful to it, God elevated me. And then Ira went from the customer service to hiring his employees. And then I built a team. And then that team, they built teams. And then I oversaw those teams. And I put people to oversee those teams. And before I knew it, my CEO was managing the VPs, and the VPs was managing the employees, and their employees were taking care of the customer. And that's the process. When God is taking you through it, you're going to go through it. You're going to experience everything because you as the founder, you need to know everything that goes on in that organization. And it's a beautiful thing because it gives you a confidence that you would have never had you not went through that process.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But not only that, people follow you.
They do.
Because you're in it with them. You know, it's something about a leader that's not leading from y'all do it and I'll catch you. It's something about a leader that is in the trenches with their people. And they're looking, because a leader can see. We are visionaries. I'm having a visual right now of seeing the leader at the front, seeing the path in which everyone needs to go. And everyone listening for the instructions and doing their piece to get there. And that's really what it's about, is to be able, and when that leadership, leading is not you off to the side somewhere and mandating people to do something. Leadership is really, you're in the front, in the thick, and if you got to roll to the back sometimes to make sure the back is together and then roll back to the front, you are constantly making sure everything is flowing. You don't get an opportunity to sit on the sideline and just, y'all going to do it this way. And this, that's just, you're not inspiring people at that point. And you're trying to figure out why you can't keep people, or no one is buying into your vision, or, you know, no, people start out with you and then they're like, nah, I'm good. You know, that's the new thing. I'm good. And the generation that we're in right now, the generation that's coming up now, what is it, Gen Z? Well, they have very little tolerance for that. So if you plan to get a Gen Z, you got to figure it out quick. They are the first ones with no loyalty. They are like, I'm out of here.
You know, it's such a beautiful thing to be a visionary, because as a visionary, you can often see what those who are looking up to you, they can't see. God always used to tell me that a son needs his father and a daughter needs her mother. And there are people that are working for us and with us that they need a leader. They want direction. They want to be told what to do and how to do it, those who are willing to be led. And they want to see someone that's not only saying it and talking it, but walking it. It's so important that you lead by example. Like, don't just say, hey, you go do this, you get that done. No, what are you – like, you have to show. There was a manager that I had in corporate America, in my corporate America days, and he taught me how to be that leader. He was in that thing with us. You know, Ira, is there anything – what can I help you with? How can I serve you, basically? And that's the question as leaders that you got to ask the people that you're leading. How can I serve you? What is it that I need to do in order to make sure that you're successful in your role? And what is it going to take for us to take care of our customers? Because it's all about when I take care of my employees so good, when I make it about them, when I pull them into the coaching sessions, when I pull them into the one-on-one meetings, I'm showing them that I care. And because I'm showing them that I care, guess what? They go out and they show our customers that they care. Man, we got people in this organization, they care about, they love us. Like, they make us feel good. They get us excited. we start each day off with these meetings. We got a powerful team of managers and people in these positions that are looking up to it. Like, they want to do the work. And I think as a leader or those who aspire to be, who can you inspire? Like, who are the people that you have? Even if you're not in a leadership role and you're looking to move into that leadership role, who are the people that are right now around you that you work with that you can inspire? Because I think it's such a beautiful thing when you can take someone from their current situation to their desired situation. Maybe they felt this way about you, but as a leader, you come in, you start pouring into them, and now they're having a change of heart. And last thing about a visionary is, what is it that you see that needs to take place in the earth? I think visionaries are beautiful people. Like, what's your vision? What's your dream? Because that idea that continues to haunt you, that thing that continues to chase you down, it's meant to be manifested within the earth. So what are the action steps that you can take, or how can you partner with God to bring that thing to life? And so I'll share that about visionary. That's been coming up lately. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I know we hit a lot tonight. Oh, my goodness. And normally I do stop and I play commercials. So we'll try to get the commercials in right before we get off the air tonight. But, the conversation has been really, really good. And it's been well needed. You know, I don't think we oftentimes really talk about the stuff that we're talking about tonight in such a very candid and raw way. You know what I mean? I think a lot of times things get sugar-coated or halfway touched. And so we fail to realize, like, wait a minute, you know, maybe my business is stuck because there's some things going on inside of me. Maybe financially, my business isn't able to scale because there's some things that I missed. And, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in business. You know, sometimes we just got to go back and get the things, because business isn't, unless you went and got your college degree. And even in that, you know, some things you just are not going to learn until you get out there and you get thrown into the mix, and you got to, that the information you learn, you got to pull, but then you're going to have to get real life experience to develop the rest. And so, you know, if you're stuck, you know, I look at it this way: if you're stuck but still able to, and your business is still able to stay afloat, you're in a good place. If you're stuck and your business can't stay afloat and you got to shut down, you're still in a good place. It doesn't matter which end of the spectrum, you're still in a good place. And the reason why I say that is that there, if you got to shut down, you can always start a new business, but get the lesson and the knowledge and the wisdom before you open the new doors. And if you can stay afloat, get the lesson, get the knowledge so that you can scale. I think it's a win-win situation. You know, I oftentimes talk to people and they just get so scared about failure, but failure is natural.
And failure is beautiful. And I say that because when you've experienced it and you've gone through it, you learn the lessons that others will never, ever learn in their lives. Like, you have wisdom and revelation to navigate successfully as you move into that next thing. You have that type of wisdom that somebody who did not ever fail, they would not have that wisdom. And I'm talking about failing in a specific way. And I think it's so important that when you go through a failure, you need to understand that it's not the last thing you'll do. You'll start a second business. You'll get into another relationship. You'll move on forward into a new job. The failure is the beginning of something beautiful. It's the beginning of a new thing, because that means the old thing was done. The reason why things failed is because that assignment is over. You're done being taught what that last thing taught you. So give yourself encouragement to move forward into whatever next that is for you. And so whether that's a relationship or a business or whatever it may be, realize that one of the most beautiful things you can do is fail, but it's not really failing. You're just moving forward into that next thing, because it essentially, that project is done. So now you can take all that wisdom and move forward into the next project. So I'm glad we actually touched that, because that was super good about the failure piece, because I used to struggle with that a lot, and I'm sure a lot of other people who are listening perhaps struggle with that as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it took me a while to learn that. And sometimes I have to still remind myself, wait, 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 what are you doing? Cover me. You know, it's just that stigma, you know, and then we have all of these things. You never fail. You miss something. If you fail at something, it doesn't mean you're a failure.
And you know God, he will teach you that lesson very well. He will allow you to fail a couple of times in order to get lessons in it. He'll have you restart a couple of times so that you can get it to perfection, to that way that he needs it. Because I've learned that he is the ultimate perfectionist. Like, I thought I was, like, a man of excellence, but when God started really dealing with me, the way he would have you, like, start and then restop and then create this and then create it again and revise it and do it again, it gets to a level where the world looks at it and they're like, wow, how did that even come about? What technology was you using? Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. But look, but even inside of that, it starts to mess with sometimes your confidence. It starts to mess with different parts of you. So, you know, that's why it's so important, you know, with personal development that you focus on those things, because we have to remember that we have feelings, right? And sometimes our feelings can navigate our decision making and our behavior, right? And so if it's a disappointment unchecked, can start moving opposite or being slow for procrastinating or building up all of this anxiety about doing something that, you know, the Father is calling you to do. He never told you not to do it. He's just revamping some things, you know? And so, but then you're sitting still not wanting to move because you're like, I done did this way and this way. And he just came in just this. You gotta address it.
You got to address it. You can't let it stay lingering, because that's me. Like, I'm always like, let me get in front of this before it gets in front of me. And so I think that's the key that you guys should definitely take away, is to make sure that you get in front of it before it gets in front of you. And when you were talking about personal development and about how, you know, like, it's important to manage your emotions and things, that's why personal development is so important, especially the piece that's titled Emotional Intelligence. Right? Like, how do I navigate through tough challenges? How do I keep my emotions in check and intelligently respond to a situation instead of unintelligently responding to the situation? And so if I can get my emotions in a place to where there's nothing that's going to upset me, there's no situation, there's no person. When you get your emotions in check like that, man, it's a beautiful thing, because nothing can faze you. And that's one of my favorite parts of personal development, is not only am I developing myself as a person, but I'm developing the things that make me up as a person, my emotions. How when she replies or responds to this, does it not affect me? And I think that's critical. Yeah, especially
absolutely.
Today. And especially in the culture. <That's
example>. Yes. So, unfortunately, we are done with time. It's getting ready to shut us down because we're like 10 seconds away. But Ira, I'm going to get your information posted on the website and on my social media for people that might want to reach out to you. And then we have a special announcement, so definitely watch social media for that. I love you guys, and thank you for tuning in to this tonight's episode of Coach Talk. Make sure you tune in on tomorrow. We'll be chatting it up again, and you don't want to miss it. Love you guys, and thank you.